The only reason why I know this is because I thought about one day. I'm like, oh, a syringe, and I need to listen to caffeine. What's the worst that could happen?
The worst. All right, let's go ahead and start. We're here, obviously, for Cell Biology Laboratory. Most of you also have cell biology, but you shouldn't think of them as being related to each other, really, like 201 lab is related to 201 lecture. They're not only are they separate grades, obviously, but they're just totally separate courses. So don't expect them to be synchronized with respect to topic or anything like that. They're standalone courses that just happen to both be about cell biology. Anyway, I'm going to need to talk much longer in here today than I will for the rest of the term. It's one of the reasons this is an unusual meeting. I usually don't have time to talk very much because this is a busy lab. But reason I have to speak so long is because I have to get through three major things. I need to talk a little bit about the course so you understand what you're in for. I need to give you the standard safety song and dance. And then I need to give you some lecture information. All right?
Then you can tell us how we have to torch
something up. Yes. Well, that's part of the song and dance. And I'll start out by saying that I don't want to sound discouraging, but in case you don't already know it about this course, this cell biology laboratory can be kind of a bitch in terms of workload. It's not really fair that you only get one credit hour for the amount of work you have to do in here. There are other labs that are just as demanding, but for the biology labs, it's more so than most of the other ones. Biochemistry is just as much, but like for instance, probably several of you have had genetics lab, and you get out early a lot of times in genetics lab. Well, you should not expect it ever to happen in this one. So we run until, 4:30. You should expect to be here until then every time. It's not to say that it's impossible to get out early, but that's going to be the exception. And you really have to work efficiently to get that. In fact, if you don't focus on being efficient, sometimes you will just run out of time in here. And I'll have to cut you off. So, realize that. I admit that it's unfair, but that's not my decision. It's one credit hour. It's what it is. All right, now, I assume that everyone's been to this website. This looks familiar, right? And I noticed that many of you have because you've given me the rules consent form, which is good. If you're among those who haven't yet, make sure you do that today. And in addition to that, explore every link on the site, which doesn't take very long. Just acquaint yourself with what is there and know where it is so you can find it when things get busier soon. Let me talk a little bit about the syllabus. And as in all my courses, I expect you to read this completely if you haven't already. But I'm just going to hit some highlights. One thing that some students like and some students dislike about this course is that there's a lot of group work, meaning group grading. Yay. So everyone will get the same score for several of the things you're graded on. That's good if you have a good group. It can be a hassle if you have a bad group. Well, one of the things you need to do today is form groups, and it doesn't necessarily have to be how you're sitting right now. Just form groups today, though, and it should be groups of four. I don't know where everyone is. We have 24 enrolled here, so there might be some stragglers that come in eventually. But group into fours, and then maintain those groups throughout the term, unless I am forced to rearrange things because people withdrawing. We'll see, but plan on using the same group for the entire term. In other words, form a group of people that you don't hate, and it'll work the best. Now, in the past, most groups are good. each term. But there are some times when people just don't work together very well, just like in real life. And up to now, in previous terms, I've said, well, it's primarily up to you to resolve these issues, just like in real life. But sometimes there are problems that people just cannot get along, and they come to me then, which isn't too helpful, because really it turns into a he said, she said. You know, half the group says, I tried contacting such and such. The other said, no, that's not true. They never did. And I can't really know what the truth is most of the time. So that's why this time around I've decided to make it formally a requirement for each group to collaborate via Google Docs. So that's another thing you need to do today. Well, not while you're here, but by tonight. While you're here today, form groups and exchange information so that at least one of you can set up Google Docs by tonight. You don't have to start collaborating on anything tonight, but the group members need to be entered into Google Docs so you have access, so all of them have access. And it doesn't mean you need to type everything that you're collaborating on. You can share share photographs in Google Docs as well, but it just forces you to have a trail to prove that you have collaborated, right? And there is no excuse for not being able to collaborate anymore. Part of the convenience of remote collaboration is that you no longer can get away with saying it was impossible for me because the internet is everywhere. So there is no longer an excuse for not being able to help out in your group, and you should be able to prove it if indeed you did try. So you should be able to resolve these conflicts. Hopefully there won't be any conflicts, though. Anyway, get that knocked out tonight as well. By the way, before I forget, speaking of doing things to tonight versus while you're here, part of the this is related to how busy this lab is or can be, depending on what we're doing. Once we get into full swing, the procedures are fairly complex enough that it takes a lot of time, and so you're not going to have time to process data here. Your job for while you're here is to obtain data, right? You use the instruments and the materials that you have here and that you don't have at home in order to get raw data. Then you're done here after you clean up and you crunch those numbers at home. So that's part of the out of class commitment that you make for being in this one credit hour class. All right, so that includes even today. Don't do your calculations that you're supposed to be doing today. That's after you get your numbers. Let me show you what the point breakdown is. That's the other thing I really wanted to talk about. The schedule of exercises here, I'm not going to read that to you, but that's you need to really pay attention to that. Don't ever be unaware of when something is due and or what is due. That's why I bother to write it down. And don't ask me when things are due, because I don't have this thing memorized. The reason I wrote it down is so that I wouldn't have to memorize it, and you can read it as easily as I can. But anyway, back to the point distribution. This, of course, is a standalone course, so your final letter grade is made up of these various kinds of assessments. Quizzes is listed first. There's two components here that are people's least favorite because they have the lowest scores of any of all of them. And those are the quizzes and the last one listed, which is the final examination. I don't know officially, I haven't calculated what the official year-to-year mean is, but they're similar. The mean for the quizzes and the mean for the final exam, which is a standardized final. I didn't write that. Everyone uses it. They're in somewhere in the 60%. Okay, so those are the lowest things of anything in this list. Just want you to be aware of that. They don't have to be, and they're not for every individual. We're just talking about means here. Go ahead.
How do you study for that?
I'm going to get to that. some people do really well on the quizzes and the final, both, but not everyone, and that's why the mean is so low, obviously. Notice, though, that each one of them is 15% of your grade, so these are combined a big chunk. Almost a third of your grade comes from these two things that I just got done telling you will be a fairly low mean. There's a way to rescue yourself, though. Well, the best thing is to not even get a low value for these hard ones, but the key is to make sure you maximize all the easier things. All right? So let me just talk about the quizzes a little bit more specifically. Those of you who had me for other labs already know how I run things. This is the only day that where you're justified in not expecting a quiz. So from now on, including next week, every time we meet, you should expect a quiz, and that will be exactly to the second at the start of the lab period. So 1:45 exactly is when we'll start each quiz. And I'm stressing to the second because the late penalty is pretty severe. If you show up late at all, you'll be penalized beyond what you get wrong as it is. And it'll be 10% reduction for every minute or even part of a minute. So, you know, if you're coming in the door right at 1:45, that's already 10% off. Don't do that. In other words, show up at the latest at 1:43 so that you have time to put your stuff away, get settled, take out your pencil, and be ready to take the quiz. All right? That can really cut into your grade. For people who are chronically late. And if you are chronically late, either it's just because that's the type of person you are, or because something in your schedule disallows you from being here. And if it's the latter, then you really shouldn't have signed up for this course, as I say in the syllabus. Because when you sign up for a course, you're committing yourself to be there at a certain time. So hopefully that won't affect anyone, but it does every term, so it probably will affect some of you. Anyway, the material on the quizzes will be mostly questions about stuff that happened in the previous meeting. And those will be the more in-depth questions because that's stuff that you've already been through. And about which I've already spoken and made a recording of. Every time I address the class, I'll be recording. And you'll find those recordings on my website. There will be a couple questions, though, in each quiz about what you will be doing that day after the quiz. And, of course, the recordings won't help you on that because I haven't spoken about that yet. But I have to put those questions in there as an incentive for you to read ahead. Now, that's important in any lab, but this lab particularly, because you do have to be prepared, not only because the procedures can be time-consuming, and therefore, it just isn't time to figure out what you have to do. There's only time to do it. And therefore, you have to know how to do it before you come in here well enough to follow instructions well while you're in here. The other reason is, I mean, not only is there procedurally a lot to do, but there's actually too much to do if you were to approach it serially, one thing after another. You won't be able to do that. It would be impossible, which means you need to do these procedures in parallel. You need to divide the labor within your group and say, you guys do this while we do this totally unrelated part so that we can get done in time. All right? Now, to do that, everyone has to arrive knowing what to do. Can't be just one member who explains to the rest of the members what you're going to be doing that day. That's going to eat time. So, read ahead. Just for the sake of being a good group member, but also for the sake of getting those kinds of questions right on the quiz. Those quiz questions won't be too in-depth because you haven't done that stuff yet, so they should be easy to answer if you have read the material ahead of time, but if you didn't bother to read it, they might be impossible to answer. Okay? By far the best way to prepare for the quizzes is to listen to the recordings. And so don't get fooled into thinking this is something you can skip. It is important to listen to the recordings carefully and early enough, not out in the hall while you're waiting for me to get here. early enough and often enough so that you can make notes. You need to prepare for quizzes as though they're tests, which they are. They're little tests. So when you when you prepare for a test, you do it in earnest. Do the same thing for these quizzes. They're just short tests. Anyway, listen to the recordings because I try on the questions about the previous meeting, I try to, as much as possible, make those questions come directly from what I've said on the recordings. Not necessarily exactly the way I say it, but that's where the information should come from in most cases. So if you study the notes from the recordings well enough, the quizzes should seem a lot easier than they would otherwise. All right? And that can have a huge effect on your final grade. So that's part of your answer on how to prepare. As far as the final exam is concerned, I'll talk more specifically about it when we get toward the end of the term. But I also want you to realize from day one that in order to do well on the final exam, you need to know how to do everything that you are required to do in here. And so when you do divide the labor, you know, you're not necessarily going to be doing everything. You can't do everything. You have to do one thing while your other group mates are doing other things. But you need to know what they did and why they did it and how they did it. And more importantly, you need to know how to do all parts of the datum sheet. So remember that as you go through the term. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more when we get to datum sheets, which is next in line. Now notice that the datum sheets are 40% of your grade. Biggest chunk of all the types of assessments. And that's good news for you, because unless you just half-heartedly approach these, as long as you don't put these off to the last minute, as long as you put enough time into the datum sheets as a group, you can get close to, if not 100%. And that can rescue all of these bad quiz grades that you might get. Okay? But quizzes, obviously, are individualized scores. The final is individualized. Datum sheets are group work. Now, the datum sheets are already available as PDFs on my website, as are the protocols, the sets of instructions that you follow week to week. I want to tell you what not to do with the datum sheets, because I see this happening all the time. Print the datum sheet out if you want to bring it to the lab, to that day's lab. That's fine, but you should not actually be following the datum sheet. That's not what it's for. It's not a set of instructions, and it's also not where you should put raw data. What you need to be following, and what every member has to have in front of him or her, is either a hard copy or an electronic copy of the protocol PDF. That's why you have to either print it out, or if you don't have an electronic device, or have that electronic device out. That's what you work from to do whatever you need to do for that day's procedure. You really shouldn't be looking at the datum sheet on that day. The datum sheet is for your final submission of data that you have processed, not the raw data. And that's to be done outside of lab, like I said. Okay? So your raw data that you generate by doing the procedure, those raw data need to be written in your notebook, and that's the first place they should be written. They shouldn't be transcribed later into the notebook. That's what the notebook is for, to write out your raw data as it's collected. Okay? Anyway, the datum sheets will be where you put final answers after you process those data at home. One copy for the entire lab, hard copy, submitted to me on the due date. So be aware of the due dates. Now, the only thing that's listed is the date, but for the hard copies, which are the datum sheets, that means right before we start the quiz. So as you come in the door, give me the datum sheet, get settled to take the quiz. That's the way they won't be late. The writing assignments, on the other hand, are all, I don't want any hard copies of papers. So that's all going to be electronically submitted. There's two reasons you need to go to Blackboard, which I try to avoid otherwise. You need Blackboard to get your scores, and you also need Blackboard to submit writing. Your written assignments will be put through safe assigned to be plagiarism checked. And so whatever date it says those writing assignments are due, you can consider it to be midnight, since it's electronically submitted. You don't have to do it by the time we start. Relatedly, before I forget about these writing assignments, let me just tell you how I deal with lateness on writing assignments. Much more lenient than the quizzes. The writing assignments, to be fairest, I like to grade them all at once so that I'm in the same frame of mind for the whole time, because it's kind of subjective when you grade writing assignments. You know, I don't want to give some people a better grade because I'm in a better mood that day. I like to do them all at once. And they also take longer to grade than other things, so I do it when I get a chance, which isn't necessarily right after you hand them in. Well, anyway, the due date is the official due date. If you get the thing submitted by then, you're guaranteed not to be late. But if you're after the due date, it still might not be counted late. I won't count it late until I start grading it for everyone. If you get it in by then, whenever that is, that could be a week or more later, I still won't count it late. But you're just taking a risk by doing that. Okay? Just realize that that is true, though. Now, to get to these writing assignments, these are also, almost all of them, all but one of them, are group work as well. And they're listed here as laboratory report sections. So you're going to do it one section at a time. And by sections, I'm talking about the standard sections that occur in peer-reviewed journal articles. So abstract, introduction, materials and methods, results, discussion. You'll do one at a time. Each one will be about a different experiment as prescribed on the schedule. This is group work, so everyone needs to be involved in each section. Okay, you don't say, okay, you do the introduction, I'll do the materials and methods later once that's assigned. That's not the way to do that. Everyone's supposed to be involved in each of the sections via Google Docs. Okay? But anyway, for the datum sheet and for these sections that are group work also, you put the names of all the contributing members on each of these assignment types, which you need to remember for the writing assignments, because it's just one of you that's going to be electronically submitting the written assignments. Don't forget to put the names on. Don't just put your name on, because everyone else will get a zero. But same is true for the datum sheets. Write the names of the contributors on, but they need to actually be contributors, which means if you do have someone who actually isn't contributing, then you're not only entitled to leave that person's name off of the assignment, you're actually expected to. I want you to leave their name off if they actually didn't participate. Okay, they'll get a zero, everyone else will get whatever the grade is. And there shouldn't be any arguments, because it's easy to prove whether you really tried to contribute with an electronic trail. All right? So those are all group. They add up to 6%, so not a huge amount. The nice thing about the written assignments is that I grade those as leniently as possible, even though I get very few really, really well written papers.
Thanks for the vote of
confidence. Well, what I mean is that very few of them actually are ready for press, but that's not surprising. You're not expected at this stage in your academic careers to be ready to publish. But that's not the point. What you need to realize as far as my criterion for grading is that if you do a good job of emulating the style of writing for these types of papers, then you can get a really high grade. Doing so, though, correctly emulating the style of the writing, requires you to look at enough real examples. And a lot of students try to avoid as much as possible reading real journal articles, because they can be difficult to read. You're not experts in the field, it seems like nonsense to you. Well, it doesn't matter whether you actually understand them. Read them for the sake of realizing how each section stylistically is written. scientific writing is different from non-scientific writing in general, but also within a paper, each individual section is stylistically different from the other. Materials and methods is totally different from how discussion is written. Get a feel for how each one is written and try to copy that style when you're writing about your own experiment. All right? If you do that well, you'll get a good grade. If you didn't bother to look at examples, it will be obvious to me when I read yours, and that's what can cut into your score. By the way, there's already, I think, on Blackboard, which is where you submit these things, instructions for how to write each, instructions for what needs to be included on each of these. But there's also a link on there to a recording in which I describe how to properly write each section, so you should bother to listen to that. Okay. Those are all groups, but there is one individualized writing assignment which is worth much more, and that's the comprehensive laboratory report. This is where you can shine as an individual. So that's a full-length report, all the sections. You can't really think about that ahead of time because you have to wait until we do the experiment that it's based on, which is later on in the term. But by then, you've been through all the other writing assignments, and hopefully you've improved and gotten a better feel for how to write these sections. 15% for that paper. In other words, that's worth all of the quizzes combined. But it's almost certainly going to be a much higher score than your quizzes. So it kind of undoes it in a way. Definitely try to maximize that score. Then we have the notebook. And by notebook, by the way, I really want you to spend the $1 or 99 cents, depending on whether you go to Dollar Tree or 99 only, to get that kind of composition notebook. It doesn't have to be green, but that compared to a standard spiral or a three-ring binder, that's what I really would like you to get. Okay, so do that. It's the only expenditure, additional expenditure, other than the lab fee. You don't have to pay for a lab manual or anything. So spend the buck. This should be the thing that 100% of the class gets 100% score on, but it's never come close to that. I say should be because this is the easiest thing to get 100% on, since all you have to do is include two things that I'm telling you to include. This notebook isn't like some other lab classes where you write out procedures or things like that. I don't want that at all. It's a waste of time in here. I want exactly two things for you to get full credit on the notebook, but it has to be kept up to date because you don't know when I'm going to check it. One of those things is all the raw data for each week's procedure. That's why you should be writing it directly into the notebook for the first time, not somewhere else and then put it in the notebook later. And raw data is more than just a collection of numerals. Legible, nice tables with headers saying what those data are is what I mean by raw data. And make it so that you can use the data. That's the whole reason for keeping a notebook.
Do you have an example of that?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because a lot of people want to fill out the PDFs because there will be tables in the PDF of what you're supposed to be collecting. But those tables really are intended as examples for how you should set a table up in your notebook. So if you print out a copy of the PDF, don't write on that PDF. Use those examples and make your own table handwritten in the notebook. So you should do that each week. Everyone should have the raw data before leaving each time. That will automatically keep you up to date. The other requirement to get the 100% is to have answers to any pre-lab questions that appear in the protocol PDFs. This is another way in which today is an exception. There are no pre-lab questions in today's PDF that you're following, but there are sample problems that you're instructed to do in your notebook, so that serves the... Those are required to get 100%. Okay? From now on, though, from starting next week's protocol and onward, there will be pre-lab questions right at the beginning of the PDF. And notice what the name is. They're pre-lab questions, which means those need to be answered before you come in that day. If I choose to check the notebooks that day, you'll only get 100% if you have all the previous pre-lab questions, all the previous raw data, plus that day's pre-lab questions answered. If you do that, you'll get 100% on the notebook checks for both of them. Okay? Just don't forget about the notebooks. It's only 3%, but 3% makes the difference between a normal grade and a minus grade, or a plus grade. Okay? Which is what this uses. It's a standard grading scale with pluses and minuses. Speaking of the answers to the pre-lab questions, you don't have to rewrite the question. As long as you label it pre-lab questions for this week, you can just put the number of the question and then the answer. But have everything labeled for me when I look at it. All right, then you're going to evaluate each other as group members eventually. Don't bother about that until the end, and I'm going to evaluate each one, how well you work, and so on. And then there's the final exam, which I've already talked about a little bit. Final exam, the individualized paper, and the quizzes combined. Notice each one of those is equally weighted. Those are big chunks. So, any questions on that you care about at this point? Yeah. For instance, not next week because we don't meet next week, right? But next meeting, you'll have you read ahead on the PDF for that week. Well, that PDF will include pre-lab questions. Those need to be answered before you come into that day. Yeah, well, as long as they're not just nonsense answers so you're filling space. Yeah, I'm not going to grade them for correctness unless you're just blowing them off by filling. You know, if I glance through them to make sure you're giving it a stab. And they're designed to help you study for the final exam. That's the reason for them. It's not just an empty source of points.
Do you care if you're writing with a pencil?
No. Just don't use white ink if you have white paper. I don't know. It says in the schedule, though, because it tells you when each one is due. I think there are four, maybe. No. Each group writing assignment, which is a section on its own, each one is a different section. So, like, the materials and methods will be over one experiment. The discussion will be over a totally different experiment. You do them one at a time as prescribed. Yeah, and when you write each one, write it as though you've written the whole paper. Pretend that the other sections exist. Yeah. No, the final exam is not open notebook like genetics. It's open mind only. You'll be able to use a calculator and a pencil. It's not a practicum, though, so you're not going around to stations. It's some multiple choice questions and some questions that will... Yeah, I forgot to mention this. The non-multiple choice questions will be processing data, and it will require you to do the kinds of things you had to do for the datum sheets. And so this is why... I'll tell you what the ideal way of approaching these datum sheets is, just to hear myself speak, apparently, because I don't know that anyone's ever done it this way. But at least I can say, I told you so. Ideally, each individual member of a group should do the entire datum sheet independently. And then you get together and compare them. There's two advantages to this. One is that when you compare them, if you notice you all came up with the same answers, it's a pretty good bet you did it correctly, right? If all four of you have different answers, then at least three of you are wrong, if not all four. That's one reason. It can maximize your scores for the group, the one group copy you're going to hand in. The other reason, though, is doing well on the final exam requires you to be able to do all of the parts of the datum sheet. So what usually happens, of course, is that to save time, each group says, okay, you're responsible for these questions in the datum sheet, I'll do these questions, and so on. We'll knock it out in 1/4 of the time. If that's how you have to do it, that's fine to get it handed in. But then afterwards, you have to realize you're going to have to go back to those datum sheets and know how to do them all individually as a way to prepare for the final exam. Okay? Anything else? Okay.